Renegade Radio. I'm your host, Andy Lowe. We are brought to you by Renegade Concepts and the good folks here at Business Radio X. You can find us at renegadeconcepts.com as well as at renegaderadio.businessradiox.com. And as always, we are meeting with great people from our business community to talk about ways that they are breaking the rules of conventional thinking, stepping outside of those traditional norms to create success in their business. And today we're going to get into the topic of government grants, government contracts, and the certifications involved in that process. I'm joined in the studio by Myra Cisse. She is a managing member at Certification Consultants, as well as Roger and Stacy Vaughn, president and VP, respectively, at the D Unity Group. I'd like to welcome you guys to the show today.
Thank you
so much.
Our pleasure.
All right. Well, let's jump right into this process, and let's talk about what it takes to get money from the federal government. I'm so used to giving money away, this ought to be a welcome change, talking about how to get some back. So Myra, let me start with you. I understand that certification is something that is important to businesses if they're going to do business with the government. So what is the certification process all about, and what do you guys at Certifications do?
Well, that's what I like to tell people, is that the path to government contracts begins with the first step, and I'm kind of the first step in the process. What I do at Certification Consultants is work with women, minority, or veteran businesses that wish to sell their goods and services to the federal marketplace. I help them get different certifications that may give them a competitive advantage in that whole process.
Now, you talked about the certification. What is a certification? You mentioned specifically an 8A, mm-hmm. I think, earlier. What is an 8A certification?
Well, the 8A is a business development program that is set up by SBA, and you're basically accepted into that program. It's a 9-year development program that allows you to have access to contracts that are set aside for 8A contractors. So it allows they have a mentor-protege program as part of that business development program, and it just allows you to go in and bid on contracts that are set aside for 8A businesses and mentor, be a protege to a larger company that mentors you in the whole process of federal contracts.
And what is an 8A business?
Well, an 8A business, the qualifications to get an 8A certification are you must be socially disadvantaged, economically disadvantaged, and your business must be considered small according to SBA guidelines. So a socially disadvantaged business would be any ethnic minority is presumed socially disadvantaged. Economic disadvantage is based on your total assets, the income averaged over the prior 3 years, and your net worth. And then, of course, small is based on your industry code or your NAICS code.
Okay. Well, I get the economically disadvantaged. Mm-hmm. I'm broke. I need money. That makes a lot of sense. I'm behind that. Qualified, right? Uh-huh. But what about the social disadvantage? What does that mean to be socially disadvantaged?
Well, basically, the program is just set up so that businesses, minority businesses in particular, that are good businesses that, you know, have a company that could do business with the government but may just not have had the opportunities in the past to do so. So this program was developed to give those businesses an opportunity to kind of get a bigger piece of the action, if you want to say.
Now, you said that ethnic businesses, ethnic minority businesses, mm-hmm. are presumed to be at a disadvantage.
Right.
But are there other minority businesses that maybe are not presumed to be at this disadvantage?
There are. I mean, if you're a woman-owned business, you can prove that you've been disadvantaged socially. Let's say you're a woman contractor and you've been denied opportunities because, you know, you go into the room trying to bid on a contract and, you know, the big boys are laughing at you like, where's the guy that runs forklift or something?
Right.
Okay. That's my country accent.
which puts you at a disadvantage.
Right, right.
If I have a southern drawl, I am disadvantaged. I can prove that. People think you're stupid, right? Mm-hmm. I get it. So how do you prove that you've been disadvantaged? Let's say that I am a female forklift driver. I mean, how do I prove to the government, yes, mm-hmm. I have been disenfranchised?
Well, the only way to do that is going to be with stories. And the SBA, exactly. And the SBA makes that final determination. That's what I, you know, in the process where I interview a client, I try to do my best to let them know the facts, but I'm not the certifying agency. So I can't guarantee that they're going to be awarded participation in the 8A Business Development Program. All I can do on the front end is make sure I have a really good conversation with them and let them know honestly that, you know, this may not be a good fit because it's up to SBA to decide that the evidence, you know, and they use the word a preponderance of evidence that supports your social disadvantage. So they ask for a narrative that you have to write to prove your social disadvantage if you're not in one of the ethnic minorities that are presumed socially disadvantaged.
Well, just listening to you talk about this, it sounds like this is a pretty detailed process. So,
oh, yeah.
What all is involved here? Is it a mound of paperwork? Is there a lot of action that I have to take on my side? Is there training? I mean, what's going on here to go through this?
Mound of paperwork is an accurate description. It's usually about a 2-inch thick file by the time it's all said and done.
Because it's government. So
obviously, yes. Right. And, you know, you've got to go through everything with a fine tooth comb. What I tell people all the time that work with me is what I do is limit their time in the process to just gathering paperwork, something they can easily delegate to an employee. This is something that one can do for themselves and not have to pay someone to do. But again, it's always the question of just because you can doesn't mean you should. And, you know, doing something.
I'm thinking about taxes as you talk about that. I'm like, I can do my taxes. Probably not the best idea.
And I've seen businesses that do that. And I'm like, really? Who did this? Especially the clients that I'm working on certifications. It's like, this might prove a problem. So let's go find a CPA and fix some of what's been done wrong so that we can present a proper package.
Okay, well, let's talk about that for a second, because I know, I'm just, again, relating it to taxes, I know that I've seen many CPAs frustrated by the fact that somebody tried to do their own taxes.
Right.
They've created a mess, which now the CPA has to unravel, so
exactly.
The work is a lot harder and more expensive to fix than if they had just come to the CPA in the first place. Same thing in certification?
Oh, yeah, absolutely the same thing in our world.
So before you screw it up, reach out.
Come see me. Yes, reach out. At least ask the questions. I mean, I do the 20-minute consultation with you, and that's not going to be at any charge, just to see if it makes sense. If you are a diehard do-it-yourselfer, I do have some tools on my website that you can get to kind of make sure that you're addressing certain things that must be done. But again, it's one of those things that, if you are trying to be conscious about money and saving some money, it might make sense to just make sure that we do this part of the process, and then you can, because your time is valuable, and the lost opportunity costs for you trying to do it yourself are going to, you know, certainly outweigh the money you spend outsourcing it.
Now, are there other certifications that you offer? I mean, let's say, for example, that I'm interested in doing government contract work, but I'm not a minority.
Mm-hmm.
Is there still a certification process?
There are several others. We've got women-owned business certification. There's a program that's 8M. It's a new program for women-owned small business.
Seems like it'd be 8W.
I know, yeah. And anyway. Who knows who comes up with all these acronyms?
I know, right?
I know. We've got Minority Business Enterprise, Veteran-Owned, Service-Disabled Veteran-Owned Small Business, and there's also like a hub zone, a historically underutilized business development zone. So if your business is located in a certain area and you employ people from that area, then there are opportunities for you as well. So there are a lot of different certifications.
And is there a difference in the time process? Like, how long does it take to go
absolutely.
Through this?
Well, 8A is going to be the longest one. That can take between, 12 and 24 months. A client I've recently gotten certified, it took us 10 and a half months to go through that process. The other certifications like Women Business Enterprise, Minority Business Enterprise, those are national certifying agencies that do those. So it just depends on their workload, but usually it's between 45 and 90 days.
Now, are there differences in certification organizations? I mean, do you guys all kind of do the same thing, or is there something unique you bring to the table to help someone through this process that maybe competitors in your field don't do?
Well, one thing that I think is unique is I've partnered with Alliance Partners, both Roger and Stacy, to offer a fast track program for my clients, because I've, go through the process of getting a client certified and then realize that, okay, wait a minute, our time would have been better spent in that 10 and a half months to do, get them closer to the end goal, which is a government contract at the end. So, I partner with Roger and Stacy so that they can help them along the process of getting all the documents and everything they need to get prepared in order to compete in the federal marketplace. So then that way we can run the path together and get them much further along to their end goal by the time we're, you know, at the certification award state.
Well, that sort of leads me to the next question I wanted to ask, which what happens after I get certification? I go through this process. Now mm-hmm. I got the paper in my hand. Now what do I do?
Yeah, now you need to go out and market that piece of paper. And that's why, you know, so many businesses are at a disadvantage because that's just the first step. So they've got this piece of paper and they're like, oh my gosh, now what do I do with it? And, you know, you need someone either to help you or you need to go through the process of learning yourself how to market that to agencies, what agencies are buying what you sell, you know, how to build past performance and make sure all of the profiles and the online forms and registrations that you have are current and up to date so that you can actually use that certification to win contracts.
Okay, so I want to need Stacy and Roger to tell me about step two here.
Absolutely.
All right, well, before I do, let's do this. If someone is out there and they're thinking that, hey, I need to engage in mm-hmm. the certification process and I don't want to screw it up myself
and
create a lot of extra work for Myra, how do I go about getting in touch with you?
They can reach me. I've got a couple of telephone numbers. 866-936-2135 is the toll-free number, or they can call me locally here in Atlanta at 770-633-8352. And my website is www.8atheeasyway.com.
All right. Well, fantastic. Well, I'm sure we're going to have some more questions for you before we're done here. So can you hang out for a minute and let me get to Roger and Stacy and get onto the stage, too?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Myra. So Roger and Stacy, welcome you guys to the show.
Thank you.
Obviously,
thank
there's a step two here. I've got my certification in hand. I'm ready to make some money. Remember, I'm economically disadvantaged, right? We already talked about that.
Right.
So I show up at your doorstep. Tell me what happens next. Tell me a little bit about DUnity and what do you guys do?
Well, the Unity Group, what we do is we educate, train, and mentor small businesses on the government contracting at all levels to include federal, state, and local. And one of the first steps that we do is, first of all, you know, get a complete and thorough understanding of how much you already know or may not know about the government government contracting process. And then at that point in time, we will then discuss, you know, what's the best steps going forward as far as where you're at in that area to ensure that we give you the best possible solution going forward to understanding how this whole process works. And in order to do that, you must first and foremost understand all the rules and regulations. While government contracting is a great complement, if you will, to what you're currently doing or what you may already be doing, it can also get you into trouble if you don't really understand the rules and regulations.
So what are some of those things that you need to be aware of then right up front?
First and foremost, the rules and regulations are what they call the Federal Acquisition Regulations, or FAR for short. Okay, and what it is it's basically a library of all types of regulations and rules that cover every aspect from what constitutes a small business to what you can consider as an expense and not an expense. And to be honest with you, if you tried to print them out, they would probably fill this room and maybe another room the size of it. So that's how many regulations. But, you know, as it may, you don't have to memorize all of them, or you just have to be aware of the ones that pertain to you as a small business.
Okay. And so I'm looking at grants on all different levels here. So, you know, what are some of the differences or distinctions about going after these grants? How does it differ going after grants from local government versus state or federal?
Primarily, there's not a lot of difference. It's only minute differences. Pretty much the process is the same. You still, even with a grant, you still have to treat it as though it is a contract, so to per se, in the fact that the difference is with a grant, it's actually monitored more closely than an actual, just a regular federal contract. Because remember, the word grant within itself, you know, speaks a lot of volume. So any agency, federal agency, or even some of the large commercial industries, they want to know where that money is, what is being spent on, almost down to the red cent. So you have to be on your P's and Q's when it comes to understanding what you can and cannot do with a grant.
So what are some things you can and cannot do with a grant?
some of the things you cannot do with a grant is you want to look at your expenditures. They cannot exceed over 30% of indirect costs overhead. And then the other thing is that you have to, on a grant, you have to minimize how much of that's going to be subcontracted out. So if you're a nonprofit agency or a profit agency and that's going out for a what we call a small business innovative research grant, you have to be really specific about how much of that's going to go subcontract, because you as a company has to do majority of the work mm-hmm. or program manage it, and that's usually 51% of it. Then the rest of it can be subcontracted out. So there's really defined rules on grants versus contracts. But that's one of the things that we do in our educating and mentoring businesses, because a lot of businesses think, oh, I can get a grant and it'll fund my business. No, a grant is about they want to see outcomes, and they're very defined on what their outcomes are. A contract is here, do you, you know, give us 20 laptops, and this is what our this is the cost of it. It's pretty straightforward on contracts.
Okay, so basically, I can't go out and buy a jet because I want to do some research on what it would be like to not have to sit in airport security lines at Hartsfield.
Exactly.
That's not going to fly.
It's not going to fly.
All right. It was a good thought, though.
It was a great thought.
All right. So when I'm looking at these government grants and I'm looking at the certification process, are there certain certifications that I really need? I mean, we talked about 8A. Are there other certifications that I may need to be looking at, or am I good to go at that point?
8A doesn't always work for grants. We can tell you veterans status is really huge right now, and being women-owned. And then there's a new certification, what they call an 8M, and it's for women businesses in a male-dominating industry. Back to what Maya was saying, if you're in construction or technology, some of the technology aspects, they'll find some, you know, small business innovative research grants and contracts. So it could be both. But you have to kind of look at the trends of what's going on. And right now, the hot button is veterans and service-disabled vet. And there is a difference between the two and then being a women-owned business. And right now, we were actually joking that if you're a woman, minority, veteran, you're really golden at that point. Mm-hmm. And if you happen to have a little Native American, that might be an advantage too.
Okay, let me flip the scale here. So let's go the complete opposite direction. You know, I'm white, I've served no wartime, and I'm male. All right, now what? Am I eligible for any of these types of contracts or grants, or am I kind of on my own out here?
No, you're still eligible. One of the things that we talked, and this is why we are Alliance Partners, is that you could be a subcontractor on a grant or a contract fairly easy, because you may have the experience and the performance that the other company or team may not have. And that's always a big thing with businesses out there, that they don't know how to alliance themselves, how to fit and build that performance.
Andy, just to be clear on something, one of the things that has to be understood by anyone that wants to pursue any type of federal work is, first and foremost, can you do the work? It doesn't matter what your status is, can you do the work? And oh,
that's a question that gets overlooked in business a lot.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Can you, you know, I always say it's easy. Well, it's not easy, but the first step is always getting the contract awarded. Then the real fun starts when you start to perform on that contract. And unfortunately, in some instances, small businesses are not always that successful in maintaining that performance through and through the contract. So
can the contract get jammed up partway through? So
absolutely.
I qualify up front, but then I don't deliver.
Absolutely.
I'm not guaranteed that I'm going to see all that money.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
What may happen is you could, well, to be honest with you, the government in its own particular way can give you a warning, a fair warning, or, you know, a notice to say, hey, look, you need to step it up or step up your game or whatever the case may be. But if you continue to go down that path of not performing, then you could suffer being suspended from that contract or ultimately debarred. Mm. And debar is kind of like the blue screen of death for a computer.
Okay.
It can be pretty severe.
Well, let me ask this then, kind of probing on that idea of performance and just thinking about what's presented in the news media today and what we see out there as these reports come back about wasteful government spending. You know, I mean, it sounds like there's a pretty stringent program in place so that the right things get money and there's a performance element, yet we hear about wasteful spending, money being thrown at enterprises and organizations that don't perform and don't go anywhere. Where's the disconnect there?
A lot of the disconnect is the training from 10 years ago is totally different now. Technology is different from 10 years ago to now. And so the government is kind of slow to change in that mm-hmm. perspective. And Roger says it the best is you could hit them in the head, a big dinosaur in the head, and it'll take several months or a year to get to the tail. You know, it's reactatory. They don't react quickly enough. And so the spending, when you're a small business, oftentimes they like doing small business contracts because the auditing is much easier on a small business because it's a one-on-one relationship with the owner and their CPA and that kind of stuff. When you're doing big entities like a Northrop Grumman or a Lockheed Martin, their million-dollar or even billion-dollar contracts will take up to 2-10 years to audit that to see if they spent the money properly. So the government's realizing, hey, let's streamline a little bit and how to give more performance to government contracts out to small businesses because we struggle with the training, the education. You know, they don't have a mentor program like we think they should have. And they're reinventing themselves as they're going along, too. SBA's worked on trying to get a better 8A accountability because the performance of an 8A firm, their performance is very hard, and they have to account for, they're in that program for 9 years or revenue exceeds it, but oftentimes they don't know how to get to the next point of, I've already exceeded my revenue, now do I grow up from that point on?
Okay. Well, let's step back and talk about a little different side of your business because I know you guys do more than just, focusing, I guess, on the grants and the contracts, but it's truly more of a consulting side. There's planning, there's strategy, there's implementation. Tell me about the phases of your business and what a client's going to go through with you.
We have five phases. The first phase is just the planning process, looking at your business, seeing if the government is buying your service or product, and then starting with the paperwork, the registration, that kind of stuff.
Well, I hate to jump in, but let's hit that topic real quick. What is the government buying right now? What businesses are thriving with government?
What the top ones right now is medical, training, education, as we were talking about, and technology.
Okay. All right, so carry on. Phase two.
Phase two would be where we work with Myra. She also works with clients, too, of is there a certification that would be of value for them and to add that to the performance aspect. And as Roger says, it's about can you do – by the way, I happen to have the certification. Doesn't mean that's the only thing. And we recommend that you don't get a certification unless you've been in business for a couple of years so you can show that performance. Because if you was a subcontractor to AT&T, you could use that as showing to the government you've worked with bigger entities. And then phase three is like the business development, strategic planning, finding those partners as you're growing your business. And then the biggest thing is execution. A lot of businesses, small businesses struggle with, hey, we got the contract, now what? And really you need to check some balances in there and someone to explain to you, hey, did you fill out that form right? Did you give them the right invoice so that you'll get paid on time? Those kind of things. Because it's often hard for small businesses to understand. It's a process with them, and they have it down to a science. And if that's not normal in your practices, you got to fit that in another division aspect.
Well, the service that you provide sounds very valuable and something that a lot of businesses should be looking into, but yet I can imagine that there are many businesses out there that have no idea how to go about what you're doing or even how to find you. How do you guys get your message to market to let people know that they should be engaging in this process?
One of the ways, obviously, is social media. Social media is playing a much larger role on both sides of the coin, whether in the commercial aspect and also in the government aspect. So social media is one. Obviously, word of mouth. I always kid that Atlanta's the biggest little town I'll ever live in, you know, because that's just the way it is. It's way different than a New York or Los Angeles, where it's so spread out and so many people. And also,
we have a lot of time to talk while we're sitting in traffic.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't know if I want to go on that one, but I'll leave that one alone for right now.
We put the whole T-Splosh debacle on the table and talk. No, we won't do that today.
Yeah. I'll let that one. As the mayor said, the public has spoken, and they've made their decision, and I'll leave it at that. So, but that being said, and also networking events, just getting out and meeting with people face to face. I always stated that, you know, the handshake and a smile is a lost art in this country, because we rely so much on social media and our computers and Twitter and all of that stuff, you know. But, you know, meeting face to face and getting a feel, literally feel for who you're dealing with or who you may want to deal with, it's lacking a little bit.
Well, yes, that's an interesting topic, and actually probably a topic for an entire another show. But I think it's an interesting thing, because you're right. We have become accustomed to a form of communication through social media, mm-hmm. that if you communicate that same way in public, face-to-face, it's very unappealing.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
Likewise, if you try to have what maybe some of us grew up as with face-to-face communication, and you try to communicate like that through social media, you're very long-winded. It doesn't make sense. You know, it just kind of doesn't fit, right? So it's kind of this blending of languages, mm-hmm. almost.
And you got to have a balance. And one of the things that we also do is we go to government industry days to talk to other businesses. But there's nothing more said than a good referral, because somebody you partnered with or allianced with, or they know that you're a great fit with. We met Myra through a CPA that we work with, and that's how that relationship. So those are kind of things that are really important. In small business in general, you may not necessarily do the same business, but you may know somebody, mm-hmm. or somebody may know them that could be that. That is, I think, is the most important thing you could do as a business owner.
Well, let's talk about the target and putting them in touch with you. So, number one, how would somebody self-identify that giving you guys a call at D-Unity is going to be the right move? And then once they decide, yes, I'm a good candidate for this, how would they go about finding out information or getting in touch with you?
Well, we have like a pre-analysis questionnaire that we recommend. We kind of go over that on the phone or face-to-face. And we recommend you've been in business for at least 2 years. And you're revenueing at a certain level so that you're not overextending yourself at that point, and that you have a staff, that you're not trying to do it as a sole proprietor. That's often a hard thing for small business owners. I know there's more of them coming out. And then if you are kind of a sole proprietor, that you have got a great alliance partnerships, multiples. Usually the best way for us is to go on our website, and it's dunitygroup.com, and contact us is on there, and our phone number is 678-701-8495, and then we have email, of course, and it's Stacy or Roger at dunitygroup.com.
All right. So, Myra, let's bring you back into the conversation here, and let's just kind of open this thing up to a discussion of certifications and contracts and grants. Oh, my.
And, that was good. I like that one.
I do, too.
And let's kind of dig in here, and maybe you guys can share some success stories or some challenge or failure stories. I mean, what are some things that you have seen, good or bad, in this process? Have you worked together on some of these projects, et cetera?
Well, and, ironically enough, just yesterday I put out a story that I like to call a story of a certified business. And it's a really great success story. My very first client in my business, I got him successfully accepted into the 8A Business Development Program. And we were celebrating. We were around the conference table. He had his management team there. We all had on our Cheshire Cat grins. You know, we were just so happy to be done with that 10.5-month process. And he was like, "Oh my gosh, Myra, you did it. You got me certified. Now what?" And I was like, that's such a profound question.
It's kind of like graduating from college, right?
Right. I mean, and, you know, that's when I realized that, you know, I had a detailed conversation at that point with Stacy and Roger, and, you know, kind of put together this fast track program so that we could literally be running in tandem down that path during the time that we're trying to get them certified, because the process can be arduous. It can take 12 to 24 months to get this 8A certification. So why not use that time to do, you know, where I'm doing my work, Stacy and Roger can be taking them through their phases so that, at, you know, when we're celebrating and we're all have on our Cheshire Cat grins at the table, it's a matter of they know the agencies that they're going after. They've got all their marketing material. They've got their capability statement. They've got everything to proceed to the next level. So it's just, you know, they're ready to go get a contract at that point.
Okay, sounds like now we're cracking that renegade concept barrier, right?
Right.
The traditional thought process is get certified and then start moving down the road about how you can monetize that.
Right.
You're saying you've got a different program that will allow me to move on both at the same time.
Exactly.
So take us into that program. Tell us about the process, and maybe both of you guys can share what happens on your end during that process.
And it depends on, you know, whether Stacy and Roger find the client or I find the client. We're just going to move quite a bit more closely together in the whole process. The proposal that we're sending out to clients kind of merges our two businesses together in that whole process. And what I'm doing with a commitment that I've gotten, you know, we're still finalizing that with a new client, but we're literally going to be moving down that whole process together. So every month we're going to have team meetings where we kind of talk about where we are in each on their side, on my side. I'm going to be doing the certifications. They're going to be moving them strategically through the phases. And depending on which certifications we do, because 8A is obviously the longest one because it's, you know, federal government, either 6 to 12 months that we're going to kind of initially set out to try to get the whole process done. So it's just a matter of moving through each of the phases, keeping the client informed along the way with monthly check-in meetings, and, you know, have certain milestones in place that we've got to check off and meet along the way.
And the small business owner is also doing some accountability because they've got to do, because we don't know their business. They've got to explain to us what they do, as Rogers talks about, the bread and butter. And we work on not just helping you grow your government contracting or grant business, but also your commercial. Maybe you don't have a good connection. You need that door opening, those kind of things. So we're working in tandem in that perspective for that small business, because even when we've been here for almost 5 years, one of the biggest thing is the word of mouth. If somebody knows somebody's looking for, you know, I grew up as a pastor's kid. My dad, everybody would call him, who's a good attorney, who's a good plumber. So we kind of pride ourselves in that and keeping our ears to the ground of who's looking for those kind of unique, distinct businesses that want to get into that government contracting grants.
And while there is the mechanics of everything with the paperwork for certifications, the paperwork on our aspect of it for getting them registered to even compete for government contracts, one of the most important things that you have to understand is relationships. Relationships. You have to build them. I don't care how good you are at doing something. You could be the best at it. But if the government doesn't know who you are, it's like telling that wall to move 6 feet. It's, you know, they don't know who you are. So in some aspects, it's almost like dating. You know, there's a little bit of a courtship there before you marry, get married. I mean, I always make the joke, I just didn't up and marry Stacy, you know, on a whim. You know, it took some time and nurturing and relationship building to get to know one another before we took that step.
You made him work for it, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not too sure about this guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to need to see some 8A certification or something.
Yeah, exactly. You have a resume.
I just want to know how thick the paperwork was to get this thing done.
Wasn't too bad. I mean, we really streamlined it. But a lot of what we're doing is what Roger was saying in the beginning. You know, we're educating them. Hey, do you know what you're getting yourself into? And we're your training team. You know, we're going to train you to be successful. And you got to be open minded as a mentor. You know, we're mentoring you through this. You know, as a renegade, you want to think outside the box. You know, so yeah, I sell technology software, but who are you always thinking? Somebody like the city of Atlanta instead of the FBI. You know, we really want to think outside the box in that perspective.
Now, what am I looking at during this process? You know, is it, I guess I'm looking at the cost associated with going through this process. Mm-hmm. You know, is it more cost effective to be working on these things at the same time? Do you guys partner in that value, or is it that I'm going to get to revenue faster? I mean, how does the money side of this work, and what am I looking at?
Definitely more cost effective to do it at the same time, because unfortunately the process of building that relationship that Roger was just talking about, that can be 12 to 18 months as well. So, you know, what just hurt me so bad after I, you know, had that great success with the client was that I wonder if I've done him a disservice, because now he's got to go through the process of then finding those relationships. The great thing is his business is awesome, and he already has some relationships with some military and different areas that he's already doing some commercial work for. So his road to a contract might not be as long as somebody else that didn't have those relationships already built. But what the value of what we provide here is going to be is that it's going to shrink that time frame. So they're not spending, you know, a year with me getting certified and then another year with Stacy and Roger trying to find those agencies and everything. You know, by working in tandem, hopefully we can condense that time.
And in that time, we're also like explaining to him what acronyms are, you know, who to talk to, you know, because the Department of Navy's acronyms are totally different than the CDC. And so when you're having that conversation, you want to make sure you're speaking the right language to them and you're not calling a captain a colonel, you know, those kind of faux pas that could really hurt you on a contract. Roger and I have seen that. And it's about the details. Roger and I were on a bid team and the guy did not sign the last page. So we had to throw the bid proposal out. So that's the great part about us, is that we're robust and that we can look at all the details for you as a team to say, hey, did you do this part? Did you do that part? You know, who's going to do this part? Because I think a lot of times when you're a business owner, you're wearing multiple hats and you're trying to figure out, okay, what am I doing now? So if you have a team that can really focus on a specific area, that makes a big difference.
And we try to be brutally but respectfully honest to small businesses, because it may or may not be for you. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's no shame in saying, or no harm in saying, well, you know what? Maybe I need to think about this a little bit before I go down this road. Because the last thing that we as an entity want to do is set someone up for failure.
Absolutely.
You know, mm-hmm. because they have worked very hard to get to where they may be at that certain point. And we do not want to be a part of running that down or running it aground, so to speak. So that's why we're very forthcoming about, look, here's the good, the bad, and the reality of it. Are you sure you want to go down this road? And then, two, do you have the patience and the persistence to stick through it? Mm. And because a lot of times, unfortunately, there are businesses that want to see results right away, and it just doesn't happen that way, unfortunately. I mean, if it does, it's rare. It's about as rare as a blue moon. So, you know, you have to understand the process and how long it could take, because you have to understand and realize that there are over 650,000 businesses registered to do government work. Not to say that all of them have been successful in getting government contracts, but you, for example, the Department of Defense, they may be working with, at 650,000, they may be working with 50,000 businesses. You know, and so with that being said, even if you are, if you have all your certifications and you're ready to go and you're looking at opportunities and whatnot, you have to be very patient, because they're dealing with thousands of others on top of you, and you're one. So,
well, talking about timing and being patient, there's another side to that as well, isn't there? Even if I get the contract and I do the work, what's my time frame before I may actually get paid and see the dollars come back from this thing?
Currently, right now, it depends. Depending upon the contract, and I'm going to throw out a term, what we call a firm fixed price contract, because it's pretty much the most simplest one out there. You may see your first, once you submit your invoice, you may see your first initial invoice anywhere from 45 to 90 days.
Oh, well, that would be exciting. I was expecting more of a like a net 180 or something like that.
There have been some cases where it's been that way. But once again, you're one of, you know, over 750,000 businesses out there trying to do business with the government. So the process, that's why it's important that all those little details that we talked about before are in place. How to invoice properly, mm-hmm. to make sure that, you know, when you send your invoice in, it is going to get to where it needs to be without any hiccups, because once you start getting hiccups, that's going to slow the process down mm-hmm. even more so on your aspect. And unfortunately, as a small business, for the most part, you may or may not have that ability to quote unquote float for the 180 days because your employees don't, they're not going to want to wait 180 days.
Sure.
So you have to be sure that you understand that process and make sure that you are prepared to go through that wait period, so to speak.
Which, again, is all part of the process that you're going to coach me through.
Absolutely.
Right, and it depends on what the contract value is. If it's a bigger contract, you know, in the $1 million, yeah, it's going to take a little longer on the process. But if it's, you know, under $500,000, there's ways to ask and know what to do in the process of winning that contract, how to get some of it up front or whatever that is. And also, there's, you know, what the government does purchase a lot on a credit card. So you got to know how to do that. You got to have all your information up to date. I just talked to a contracting officer the other day trying to buy something, and their electronic information was invalid. So then they weren't able to utilize them as a contractor. So it's those details that could really make or break you if you don't know what you're doing out there.
Literally.
Yeah, it's always the details. That's where the devil lies,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's the saying, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just kind of slipped that little quick. <Yeah. laughs> Subtle. So do you guys see more people coming to, say, Roger, Stacy? Do you see more guys coming to you thinking, I want to get involved in government contracts, and you have to send them back towards somebody like Meyer to get engaged in the certification process? Or, Meyer, do you see more people coming your direction saying, hey, I need to get certification, and then I need to get somebody to help me with the contracts? What do you guys think?
I think it's kind of half and half.
Right, that's what I would say, too. And because each of us are running our own separate businesses, but, you know, because we kind of found each other and there's that synergy, we're doing that back and forth and trying to do a lot more of that because it just makes logical sense for the customer and everyone involved.
And an example, we have somebody who is going to mentor another small business. And Roger and I talked to him over 2 years ago. So now he's called us, and we called Myra, and we had a big team meeting. We gave him a strategic plan and the cost proposal, and he loved the idea because he realized 2 years ago he wanted to do something different, but he had to put some things in place before he can come back and talk to us. That's what we're finding out is a lot of businesses think they're going the right way, and then they're learning the hard way, hey, I should have really talked to Myra, or I really should talk to Roger and Stacy, because they're trying to do it themselves. And so that return of investment has not been a really good return of investment on their time, because time is money, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, let's make sure that people aren't screwing that up and they're getting the right help here. So once again, Myra, how would someone reach out to you to get involved in the certification process or in the Fast Track program?
Okay. The website is 8atheeasyway.com. My telephone numbers are 866-936-2135. And the local number is 770-633-8352.
That was a little difficult, wasn't it? I was watching because Stacy's flashing numbers over at Roger here as we're talking, and I'm trying to listen to your numbers and watching her hands. I'm like, she's going to say what's her fingers. She's gonna be like, four. No, wait, three.
You took the words out of my mouth. I was like, oh, my God, I hope I did that right.
I can see it in your face. You're kind of is that my number? I think it is.
Sorry.
Radio multitasking.
A little renegade.
All right, so Roger, Stacy, how do people get in touch with you?
At www.theunitygroup.com. Telephone number is 678-701-8495, as she had flashed. And so, once again, www.theunitygroup.com. Telephone number 678-701-8495.
Well, guys, this is great information today. I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing it with us, and I hope our listeners are able to take advantage of it and reach out and get what they need to get in the process of getting to the government, because there is work to be done by the federal, state, and local governments, and like anything else, you got to be able to go out there and get it. So with your assistance, I hope we'll increase the efficiency of that process at the very least. Mm-hmm. For those of you listening, we thank you for tuning in each and every time we have an episode of Renegade Radio and learning how you can move your business ahead by breaking some of these rules and conventional norms that maybe are miring you down or holding you back. My name is Andy Lowe. I am your host here at Renegade Radio, brought to you by Renegade Concepts, found at renegadeconcepts.com, and the good folks at Business Radio X. If you want to go back and listen to our other shows, they can be found at renegaderadio.businessradiox.com. And we hope you'll join us next time. Until then, remember, opportunity lies in the impossible, but you have to be willing to break the rules of conventional thinking.